What is it you do as a commissioner?
Well, I figured out, I'll let you know.
Call us back to order. One thing that's on my mind before you get to present your deal is that phone call was just on with Randy and Kathy. They've all looked for the petition on Hidden Meadows, I think is the name of the subdivision, Meadow Lane and and those.
Yeah.
Do you by chance have a chance to think of it, to go by and look at those roads?
Nope.
Okay. No. I would, they looked it up on our map. And the main road, I think it's Meadow, goes back so far and then we stop. And then there's two short streets. One of them's Hickory Court or something like that. And they have not been able to find the petition. And, I mean, they're good roads. They're, I don't see anything wrong with them.
I don't either. It's a, those are continuations. Those are continuations, I believe, of... It's one neighborhood, the continuation, same builder, but the condition of the roads is very good. And I had some question a year or so ago as to why those roads were not taken in, and I didn't have an answer for them. What would you like me to do? Video it or do a...
No, I'd just like us to take them in. One of them is very short, cul-de-sac with like four or five homes on it.
Which road is that? Blue Ridge?
Hickory. Yeah, it's neither one of them.
It's not these.
But I've been talking about it and trying to get something done. And
off of what? Help me get, where is it?
Go Reinhardt Road.
Yeah?
Instead of turn left to go to the meat plant, you turn to the right on Beeler.
Uh-huh.
And you go just a very short ways. Beeler makes a left, and you'll see their entrance sign says Hidden Meadows.
They're
quite expensive homes. Mm-hmm. One of them is $750,000 down there, that some folks I know. And goes down a fairways and does a big cul-de-sac, and somebody's got a gate there on their property at the end.
Who's this in the back left? Isn't that someone? I know, I walked that neighborhood.
Friend of mine.
It's asphalt, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
In good shape.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, have you done the due diligence to make sure there's easements and all that?
No. I can make a bunch of assumptions, but I'd rather not do that.
I get it. He's going to have to come before us anyway, with it just to make sure it meets all the requirements, but I know what you're talking about. I'm good with that road, because I know that road.
Make sure we got 40-foot easements.
Yeah.
That'd be a little controversial.
I don't know if it necessarily need the petition, but just do your due diligence.
I can come back next week with a short little summary of conditions, easements, and a description.
Let's do it on our Monday morning then.
Okay.
Sure.
Post it. The developer, anyway, I bet it's 40 foot, but that's... definitely a good thing. All right, thank you for jumping me ahead.
Okay. Then somebody had posted several issues, road issues. One was Fagan and one was...
I saw that.
Blue Ridge, I believe.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, well, yeah.
Okay. Fagan is right next to the old bus barn. Goes up to the, behind the old high school.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right off of Bee Creek.
What's the name of the subdivision?
Oak Bluff? Oak Bluff is on the left, off of that.
Just past is Oak Bluff, but this is before you get to Oak Bluff. Goes up the hill to the nice condominiums.
The Turtle... I know what you're talking about. I know exactly the road.
Anyway, Joe Hall has talked to me and reminded me a couple of days ago. He would like us to take it and improve it, put curbs and gutters, because when you get back in there, some of those are Branson streets. And
what?
I told him I would bring it to the commission. It's one of those that was looked at. Maybe you looked at it. Did you tell me you went around with Larry Van Gilder?
Oh, yeah. That was looked at in the list, okay. The master list. We sat through a master list with Larry. Fagan Road was one of them. Mm-hmm. But the whole terms of the Branson thing is pretty steep.
I know.
But anyway.
I have only one concern that I want checked out, and that's the water lines on both sides of the road that's going up the ditch lines.
There's the water line issues. They're shallow, and they're right next to the roadway.
At both sides.
Yeah. There's some drainage issues there that we work on a regular basis. Curb and guttering might not be a bad idea to eliminate some of the, as you're coming down the hill on the right-hand side, there's some ongoing erosion problems that we're having a difficult time maintaining. We did an estimate 6 or 8 months ago on curb and gutter.
It must have been when Joe first mentioned it then.
Yeah, and it was $40,000 to $50,000 or so for curb and gutter. I don't know if that would
River
require,
Bluff.
River Bluff, sure.
I don't know if that would require a relocation of the water lines to make that improvement.
That's what I was wanting to check into, the water lines. We ran into, well, we cut one on, I believe it's the right-hand side going up. As the boys were working on it, I think they were just doing some maintenance on the shoulders and stuff. And they cut a line and went over to the other side as went going on and cut another one on the other side. So need to find out whether it's got a lines all the way down both sides or whether it's got lines on one side. I think he came before the commission.
Charlie Ingram did.
Charlie Ingram,
the developer. Yes, sir, he did. And I don't remember what. It seemed like he took it across the other side, but I don't remember.
If you find out that information, it'd be all right.
Well, this issue brings up the big issue of all these roads, and do we want to try to start working a deal with the Branson and?
Well, I show Fagan Road off our assessor's map being in the city of Branson.
Yeah.
The road.
Yeah.
So why would we even
consider it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is it one of them that's...
I mean, Oak Bluff is clearly in the county.
Oak Bluff is, yes. Okay. But the project, River Bend project, is in the city.
Yeah.
And those homes are, and maybe all of it's in the city now. You got it right there, huh?
This is not. Tom and Margaret Huffman's property.
Okay, so
Birdsong.
One side of it's in the county, and the other's not.
Joe Fagan has some property up there yet. Donald Newkirk.
So none of that is.
This is
Pete
Hershen's here.
So it's one of those that's only one side.
Uh huh.
Maybe a cooperative one.
That's not it.
Bring us some more information on it, see what side the water line's on.
You don't want to get me started, do you?
Oh my gosh.
We'd need to check the right of way to see what kind of room we had to make improvements, where the water lines are at, whether or not it's acceptable if we made the improvements to widen the road and curb and gutter, whether or not it's acceptable to have the water lines underneath the asphalt surface, possibly what condition are the water lines in. A lot of times if you put roads over water lines, you want them to give the company the opportunity to upgrade their lines so that they know for a good long while there won't be an issue with them.
Yeah.
So I can check on the right of way. Do you know what water district that is?
I'd just drive up. Charlie's office is up there in one of those buildings, isn't it? Just
okay.
Drive up there and check with him. He come before the commission and... Actually, I think he came before the commission complaining about the water board not fixing the water line or something.
Charlie?
I-N-G-R-A-M, I believe, or it could be E-M.
It's E. It's E-M.
Okay.
It's a real, very nice condominium project. And you'll see his office there real easy.
And the other, so I'll check into that, bring information back. And the other one was Blue Ridge.
All right. Everybody in a good mood?
I'm listening.
Okay. I had hoped.
I'm not saying a good thing.
Okay. I had hoped that I would get out there and look at Purvis to see how it had held up. Has anybody been out there since
not,
it rained?
Not since we've had 12 inches of rain, two big rain events.
Well, I went down the other day. I don't have to tell my whole story, but I generally do. I went down the other day and looked at off of Sioux there, that road that we took in and rebuilt. And you see it through the highway cut off of 160. Mohawk. And anyway, when I saw it, I had ideas because we put in some pretty nice culverts underneath that, maybe two or three or something.
Big ones. It's a big drainage area.
And it brought Blue Ridge back to mind. And would this commission consider working on Blue Ridge? I know we've said no before. I haven't had any complaints or conversations with anybody, but again, that looking at Mohawk and what we did with it. Anybody got an idea what we spent on Mohawk?
It was a cost share, but I can't remember.
Oh, Mohawk? I don't remember.
The cost share was between $2,000 and $3,000, and I think our cost was not to exceed 17 or 18 or so.
Well, I could see us. The problem with Blue Ridge is you got two things. You got to get across the drainage area. Not really a creek. Maybe it is a little creek, but anyway.
The dry creek. Is that the one you took me down?
Mm-hmm.
Back after the main, before I got elected.
Then after you get across, and I'd like to think that we could get across it without much more than, some more than the Mohawk, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other issue is the road going up the hill, and it's not even in the right place. I did talk to Chris Byrne about it. I was visiting with him on some stuff, asking if he'd been back there lately, because he had drove me across it while they were having such time with it. And he realized that it's not the right place. It originally was not near the angle, the way it was platted, I guess.
Hmm.
What?
But... Oh, I got to apologize first. I did have somebody bring it up, and I think that was a letter from DFS or somebody. That's what it was. I got an email from somebody. Foster kid was living up there, and emergency vehicles couldn't get
I got
get
the same letter? Something or other.
That's what
it's an email. That's why it was like I got an email saying that.
That's what started the thoughts.
Whatever they can't make. They can't go on the road.
And then I remembered seeing the work we'd done on Mohawk. Now I got it on the agenda after that.
There you go. I remember now.
Well, we got a problem with the steepness for sure. You know, when the day Jack Harris died, you know, we turned him down on whatever road that was out there because of the steepness. They had to asphalt it before we would consider it. Then the other thing is I don't know what you do about that water situation. You know, they put in four 48-inch 10-horn pipes. And I think when Jim and I were down there, they were laying down the creek about...
Yeah, they were gone.
They were all the way down about... How almost out of sight, you know, with that bad. Well, I'd say that was 24 2-foot stuff that they had piled in on top of those to hold that in there. And of course, at that time, they were walking across. Now, somebody went in there, and I heard it was the Youngblood boy. Mike Youngblood had went in and fixed it to where they could get cars across it for them. By just using the material that had washed away and off to the corners. I'd say something about a deal, but I don't want to say it on the help offered to. Did Steve Jones pass away, the boy that lived over there? You know Steve?
I don't.
Steve, I had a call from Steve and his wife, or ex-wife or something, and I visited with him about it, and they were really interested in some something that was offered to help them with that situation down there. And as a matter of fact, I was one of the ones that told Mike Youngblood to contact them, and that there would be some funding available to help them get that fixed up to where the county wasn't involved in it. I don't know what took place after that. I do know I talked to a lady the other day that lives down there, and she said they were driving across it now. At the time we were there, you couldn't even drive across it.
They were parking on one side.
Parking on one side and walking up the road on the other side. I took that whole situation bothered me enough. I took some extra time, and then when I said I even drove Jim down there, I think we were out looking at either outer roads or something, and I took him down there and showed it to him because I knew that it was eating on me about the way the road is fixed. Not to get off of that, but to get kind of along those lines. We had talked the other day about them number of miles that were snow plowing.
Okay.
We're going to, and we'll get fall right back on this, but we need to, some of the roads that we start taking in, we need to start taking them in as a class 6 or 5 or something to cut down on the number of miles that we have to snow plow. Because that's where we're running into a lot of, a lot of problems keeping up with the county. But we get back on that.
How about we ask Frank to get the plat and look about the, see how that road is on the other side.
On the other side of the washout?
Yeah. And see what kind of thoughts you might have for a purpose lane type of job.
Yeah, I had the email check. Yeah, Wednesday of last week, we got the email from Margaret Bowman, DSS. That's what she was talking about, yeah. The Blue Ridge Road having an issue.
I've had two calls on the downhill side before the washout. One gentleman wants to purchase several loads of gravel for the upper portion, 2 to 3 loads of gravel, and then the other gentleman was somebody that you and I have talked to several times, lives on the left-hand side going down the hill. He called and wanted to know if there's any chance of us, the county, doing anything.
We took in part of that. We took in part of it to where the road breaks over the hill.
We took it to that one point for the bus or something.
Since Jim's been here.
Well, if that's all right with you two, we'll get Frank to look at that. One other thing pops in my mind is when I was out there with Chris. Somebody else, I don't know if it's Randy or who, went and looked at it. And the culverts you're talking about that I assume were washed away were not placed in the right place. And it made it a problem, and whoever had knowledge, I didn't.
Well, you got two little hollows that come down with a ridge between them, and it was offset enough that it washed the road out before it got to the culverts.
Yep.
Is what one of the main problems was, but it's a real difficult place to fix up and ever hold because they were blaming it on the state, and they still were the other day when I talked to, he was in here in that meeting, the boy, and he said that he never thought that the problem would have existed if they hadn't cleared so much when the state put the outer roads mm-hmm. in and put those slopes in on those banks. But they never had that kind of water run through there. So
right.
if it didn't wash out in this last, you know, that might be something you'd want to check on, Frank, is this last 10 or 12 inches of rain that we've had, what kind of damage it done to that road. You know, if they filled it in and were passing, it was passable with cars.
Mm-hmm.
If those hillsides may have got enough, you know, weeds and growth on them that it wasn't nothing but bare soil whenever we were out there before.
There's a drainage pipe on the state property on the outer road that's failed and has a pretty significant washout that was turned in a couple of weeks ago to the state.
On one of those outer roads?
Right, on one of the outer roads. But I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of outer roads, they're still out there in limbo, right?
Yeah.
And I can't think of the guys called us. Janet Gard. What's his poor husband's name? Out there on Raven Hill or something like that. Anyway, or whatever come to that issue.
Yeah. I can't remember, but I remember the name.
Okay, well, thank you for hearing me out.
Okay, I'll bring back some information.
What do you guys think about the what I'm... I know we've had this discussion when we bring it up in public meetings, but limiting the number of, depending on the usage of a road, taking those roads in as a Class 6 and upgrading them as they need to be upgraded, but quit taking them in and snow plowing
right.
roads that are low density.
Especially if they're right next to another one that we are doing.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. And another thing is the road standard that they're in. Sometimes we take them in and then we do a lot of improvement on them.
Right.
They've already got a pretty good, just like some of the earlier ones you mentioned, you said they were good roads as of now. You know, you might consider them to go on up, but if they're not, don't match a good road standard, let's don't snow plow them. It's worth something to have a maintenance program on a road.
Sure.
But let's quit taking in so much snow plowing area that we can't get to. I just keep talking, I know, but that brings up another issue, Frank. Before it gets bad snow weather, we've discussed this for the last 2 years, we've got to change. We was hoping that we would have the Hollister barn by now, but we've got to change the Kirbyville, Mildred, K Highway, Power Site. We have to change that area on either the number of men or who we've got on the job or something. What we had working those areas were boys that we took off the concrete crews.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And we had, I know Randy run out one day and took a grader and run, even, I think he even got on some of the state roads just to get to where he was going. Because we had an ice event.
Right.
But, we've got to lay a plan. Who lays that out for you, Frank? Do you have to lay that out?
They have, routes that are established that have been color coded that goes to each crew. So that the new people know where to go, and the new people have an orientation on a day where there's no snow at all, so they see hazards and obstructions. But last year was not a good year for that area at all, and we had talked about making some adjustments, whether it's bringing some of Sam's people farther this way or making some personnel changes.
Yeah, I thought that might be it. But you know, we had two accidents on that, and it was only... maybe only two during that one ice storm was there, and one of them went off over the hill and tore the brake lines and everything out underneath it. And he was a road wasn't a regular truck driver. Mm-hmm. That's one reason I'm get on Frank's case here just in a shortly about the snow rodeo that I feel like is so important that we can evaluate some of those guys that we don't want. It's a public safety issue is what it is.
Right.
Not only their inexperience in being in a vehicle every day, which makes them a better operator on certain types of road, but the fact that they may come up on somebody. And any experience of not being in one of them big 10-wheelers, it'd be just about like me or you or Chuck, I imagine, getting in one of them and taking off.
There are a lot of trucks.
Huh?
There are a lot of trucks.
A lot of trucks.
And I like the fact that we have some idea from the snow rodeos, even though it's a lot of stuff goes on during that day. But I like the idea that you can evaluate those truck drivers.
What was, I couldn't give a good report, but I know you talked about that in shop talk that I sat in on. Felt like there was a need for it.
Item number four, snow rodeo. The equipment is mostly ready. We're about 80% ready. We need to purchase some chains and some quick couple links. There's a problem with several plows that are being fixed. Equipment-wise, we're close to being ready for a storm. Let me read this real quick. There appears to be an overall feeling or opinion that they do not want to have the snow rodeo event. Many of the older guys take the day off or do not get involved at the particular day. They just stand around and don't do a thing. And this is me talking. I think it's critical for the younger, inexperienced guys to have the training. So what I had asked them to do was set aside a day for the younger guys to set up an obstacle course so that they go through the obstacle course. And they're the ones that really need this. That's not the 15 or 20-year guys that have been doing it, but the inexperienced people to have a single day set aside to do these driving maneuvers and for Randy and myself to be there and watch. And in conjunction with that, we're going to do an inspection of various things unbeknownst to. Mm-hmm. So in conjunction with that, unless you are in opposition to doing it this way, I've taken into account what I think your concerns are in that the younger guys need to get behind the wheel and have some training.
I tell you one thing I know I observed out there. And last year, I don't know whether last year was or the year before, I was the only one but the commissioners that was there that day. I spent the whole day. But let me tell you what I observed. I observed older drivers in when the young drivers were sitting there behind the wheel and they were going through the obstacle course, and it was quite a bit different last year than it had been before. And they were telling them different things to do. You know, they had their windows down. It was a nice, beautiful day that day, and they had their windows down, and they were telling them what to do as far as. I just hate the idea of sending somebody out there with a lack of experience without even another older driver. But I do know that I asked where several people were at that weren't there.
Yeah. I think if we can do it either way you like. I agree it's important. I think if we do it this way that's proposed, the inexperienced guys will actually get more time behind the wheel driving. Dixie also mentioned this morning that on December 2nd there will be an open enrollment and there will be some health representatives here and some banks. And she said that possibly suggested a driver training event for when the guys are here and asked me to call Mr. Connell, insurance, to see if he could make that driver safety training presentation to us on that particular day.
I think one of the biggest deals that made people not want to do it this year is Bridget kind of showed them up just a little bit last year, and I think it was an embarrassment to some of the drivers. Now, I say that it's on the record, but I don't care. I mean, I think that it was part of I think she, what, she had won two or three events?
She was overall winner, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I hate to get into
that. Well, so right now the Snow Rodeo, as we know, is canceled.
Yes.
And this other thing that you were looking at, when were you thinking about doing that?
Around the next couple of weeks.
Okay. But not calling it the Snow Rodeo?
We've talked about it. I think you may have attended the Shop Talk meeting. We've talked about it for a month now. They've done the equipment portion of getting ready for the winter, which is part of the Snow Rodeo event deal, was the getting the equipment ready. The other portion is the different equipment trials that we have out there and the barbecue, which I thought was, it's probably the only time of the year
yeah.
the East and West gets together as a large group. So there's some benefit to the morale, I think, in having that event. It sounds like you want us to have a snow rodeo. That's not a problem. I don't think it's a bit.
Well, I don't want to waste anybody. But my thing, Frank, I mean, I'm not saying one way or the other, okay? Mm-hmm. What I am saying is if there's a benefit to half the group or if it's a way to test it, maybe you do. I just because we're getting low participation doesn't mean you should stop the event if there's benefit to it.
No.
And the morale, all the bow shops getting together, I think it's the only time of the year we do that, right?
Yes.
That's kind of important. I mean, I see a value in that.
Jim, when I first came on, the first year they had it, when they had the snow rodeo and I went out, and Chuck and Ron were there, and I think Ron even drove in the snow rodeo part of it, I thought it was kind of silly until we had a snow event, an ice event that year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I seen where the value lied of being able to check mark and evaluate these drivers.
Right.
On certain locations. And then, when I got to thinking about it, you know, if something happens and you have an accident, pray you don't have an accident, but if you do, you've already went through a safety type situation with the snow rodeo, evaluating the skills of these people. And if somebody that would score high and a safety situation that went through the snow rodeo and scored high on this and had a safety issue, it might save the cost of every bit of what was put on out there. Plus, we had last year was the first time that we've really had vendors show up. They had several gifts. They had prizes for the winners of every one of the events. I think, I don't know, who put on the meal? John Deere or somebody put on the meal for us. It didn't cost us anything. And just for my vote on it, and you guys can make your decision however you want to, my vote is to have the thing and to, if the older guys don't want to participate, well then they need to be doing, something else. But, by golly, I think it's well worth time for us. I feel a lot safer about having people out there that's at least been in a truck and drove an obstacle course.
Chuck, what you're thinking?
I was just leaning on what the crew chiefs were saying. They didn't see the big advantage to it. They're working with it all the time, so I was just going on what they thought.
Right.
I think we're still in the different format that I proposed, we're still addressing the inexperienced operators.
Okay.
But there's some benefit to getting all the guys together also. We had one other event this year where there was a training in here where both sides got together.
Randy still having his quarterly safety or?
Actually, we've recently up that frequency from quarterly to monthly, and the supervisors are required to put a short description of the meeting together and a roll call signatures sheet back to me so that we can put it in our safety file in the office. My concern with having them on such an infrequent basis was that we have close calls throughout the county in different operations, and we want to bring those issues up and talk about them, and also for documentation if there is an event. You're a lot better off having a full safety folder than one that's doesn't have very much in it. So Randy has been doing a good job with that, and the crews and the crew leaders have been picking up the pace on safety meetings.
You know, I guess to go a little deeper on your answer, that if there's those drivers that, and we've got quite a number of them, have been here a long time, and you know, maybe we just don't need to bother. And just focus on the ones, put all the time on the ones that don't have experience. But I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
I mean, I literally don't care. I mean, if the whole reason to get together to have it is to get the off the group to get the group together, that's not the only reason.
Aren't we good doing the dinner thing we talked about the other day? Golden Corral or something?
Yeah, we did talk about that. We didn't pick a date yet, did we?
No, we didn't pick a date.
Christmas thing.
We're thinking about all getting together for Christmas.
I'd like to have that, you know, like the first week of December or somewhere that ranges away from everybody taking off during those last few times, and then close enough to Thanksgiving that they kind of get the benefit from both deals. We haven't even checked it. Was you going to do that?
Or I was going to do that, and I haven't got that done.
Yeah.
I too am concerned with the safety issue, and I think it will be addressed by this new format. Be interesting to hear what all of the employees, not just the crew leaders, thought of the event.
So your plan is to do the new event, the new thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll argue with that.
Commissioner mad at me?
No, I'm not. It's as I've said this to you before. It's your responsibility, and I want you to, you know, you have to make those decisions just like the three of us sitting up here do. And I just seen. To myself, I just thought there was quite a bit of value to it. I thought it was about the most ridiculous thing that I ever witnessed the first time I was out there, until after the winter was over with, and then I seen it wasn't. The two accidents concerned me last year, and both those guys were people that don't drive the trucks.
What I will do is let you know the days that they will be doing this training on each side, and so that you can be aware of it and possibly stop by. And
sure.
I like to attend them.
Okay.
Speaking of the barn, you haven't called it together yet.
I was supposed to give you a list of, that was whatever, Thursday, I was supposed to tell you what I was going to say to them first, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had only 24 hours to do that one. That's not even, that one's still...
Well, is that fresh?
That's what's so fresh.
I've lost track of time. Been a long weekend again.
Do you have a 2:00 coming?
No, it's just a vote. You're good till 3:00.
Hope not take that long. The transfer station is taking a considerably lot longer than we ever imagined. Larry Gregory has been diligent in keeping me informed on probably a weekly to semi-weekly basis. The issue that's at hand right now, we went through the design process, the review process, and then ultimately the DNR review. And the issue that's the stumbling block currently is that DNR is requiring all new and or modified transfer stations to be fully enclosed, meaning that our current configuration of transfer station, if we're to do any changes on the inside at all, our current configuration of not having doors is not the way they like to see them.
So we're grandfathering it in until we make modifications, then we have to abide by the new rule, which is enclosures.
Yes. Interestingly enough, if you go to the DNR website and look at a picture of transfer stations on their website, this is their first page on their website. It's obviously a not enclosed But maybe they were permitted in the 80s or 90s. Bottom line is we are now working with that. Larry and I had a talk last week while I was on vacation. We could try to appeal their decision. It's a new person that's in the position that's reviewing our upgrades at the time. Larry thinks it may be their newness in that position. He thinks that also if we appealed it, we may win the appeal, but it could add extreme amount of time to the process that's already been.
If we hang doors on it but never close it, can we do it?
Possibly.
Well, it had doors on it, didn't it?
Yeah, they're just not operable right now. And we're adding two more doors to the face. And then on the back side of the building where the truck's back in, we would need to build an additional structure out there to, because the trucks stay there overnight, so there would be an opening in the building there. But that's just an update to let you know that.
I mean, guys, we want this update, but do we have a timeline? The question, I guess, do we appeal? Or do we just put doors on the design and go on?
Well, when you say we got a timeline, what do you mean by that?
When do we? Well, we're not trying to get it done by a certain date.
Well, here's where I would like to, and I almost said good deal whenever you said they hadn't came along. I'd like to get that barn situation on Mount Branson settled in, and then think about the green waste facility out there. For the other use, get as much away from there. Maybe have a, you know, one of the crews that are a small crew work out of there that has a good crew leader that can be responsible and can report to the other big barn. And before we start throwing a bunch of money one direction or the other, is what I'm. I really would like to have that barn on Mount Branson, just to, for location-wise.
Well, do you want an appeal?
If there's not a negative other than just the time.
Mm-hmm. I would appeal. That's how I'm looking, too. Tell Larry to aegis to appeal that deal.
While we're on transfer station, and you're right, Frank, I was out there the other day for some reason. Maybe just all known trash. Anyway, Dalton came up and said that we've lost a lot of money by our no check policy. And Karen piped in with the same comment. This one of the fellows that was a commercial guy that had talked to us about the checks had complained about it. Jay Brown, same guy as wanting to do the shingle thing, but he's not coming anymore. And I didn't get a list of names or anything, but both of their feelings is the check policy was not a good thing, that we've lost a lot of business.
Did we give those individuals the opportunity to set up an account with us?
Yes, we did.
I think we did, yeah.
Because there were, Brown was one of them, and I'd heard he'd gone to, is going to Reed Springs now. But I think we tried to accommodate them by setting up an account with them, and I think part of the no-check policy was because we'd had some issues with rubber checks and things like that. But yes, I've heard that there's been several accounts that have moved on elsewhere because of that particular policy. I've also heard, on the positive note, that the credit card machine is
working okay,
working very well, much appreciated. Other than several weeks ago, and we may have made this improvement, we had one phone line going into the shack that one operated. Once one was on a phone, you could not operate the credit card machine, so I think there was a request put in to have a second line put into that building. But I have heard positive comments about that. Some other negative comments on the transfer station are the mandatory hard hat and vest. We've tried to do the best we can in managing that program, and Karen most recently stated that more people are more they're not as upset. They're understanding, and complaints are down from what they were in the beginning. Some people have purchased their own hard hats and vests. And
well, they also mentioned that they needed some more hard hats. The one I use worked really slick, and I guess some of the older ones or something are pretty much a hardship to get folks.
They requested several weeks ago to have the type that have a knob in back that are easily adjustable, and I thought we'd ordered those. I could check on it, but I'm pretty sure that we did order those.
I would suggest that maybe we try to set a time and run over. You know, we did that a while back when you were pretty new, and just sit down with Karen and Dalton and them and have them explain what we've lost and just have another little update with them.
I think that's valuable. The last one we had, I think we accommodated every need that they asked for. We changed all of the signs out front to more visible, and the other ones were falling apart. They had some communication issues, credit card machine. I mean, we addressed a lot of issues that they brought up, so there's probably some value to that. Would you like me to set that meeting up?
I would.
Sure.
How about the amount of trash at the trash cleanup? I haven't heard anybody report on that.
No, neither.
I didn't get a chance to. I've been so far behind after a couple of weeks here that I didn't even get up to the... We worked here Friday, and I didn't get a chance to get up to find out.
The flats had 8 containers, roll-off containers, that are completely full, and we're anticipating that we... Today they ordered 3 more to get the bulk of the material off the ground. It may be 3 to 5 to fill up, based on what's on the ground. So
that's a good turnout.
The flats was a very good turnout, more so than in the recent memory, according to Jack. I called Sam, or I had Deborah call Sam this morning, and he stated that he seemed to think it was a little bit less than last year, but it was quite a bit more here in the flats area.
I think we went from 5 the first year, 7, now we're up to, what you said, 9?
11 at least. We had 8 on the ground. They're full with a large pile of debris to be hauled, put in another container, so we're up to 11 or 12. Okay, we'll have a transfer station meeting. Next issue is 160 dirt pit. I just wanted to make you aware that at 160 and 65, we've had a permit through MoDOT to operate a dirt pit for 3 years, going on 4. It was recently extended. We had a goal to have that area modified and configured and landscaped, meaning just seeded, to the way that MoDOT wanted it prior to the retirement of Mr. Wilson. We didn't meet that deadline because of wet weather, but if you see activity out there, we're still working on closing out that permit.
Had a comment from one of our neighbors out there who I know fairly well. He said we're doing a nice job. He's really pleased with it.
Good. Had a request from Chris Burnt. This is a different issue. Fire station number 8, which is located near J&JJ, they have acquired an old water tank from somewhere. They would like us to dig a hole. They want the water tank to be an underground water tank and pressurize it. They would like us to dig a hole 10 feet deep and 54 feet long. I just wanted to...
Say that again. Who did?
Chris Burnt.
Okay.
And I think Western Central Taney County Fire District gentleman by the name of Danny.
What's he using as water storage, I guess? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. They're asking us to dig the hole. They acquired the tank for a nominal fee, and they will have it transported. Our task would be to to dig the hole to allow them to bury it.
There's a fire district guy right there.
Let me tell you, living very close to that, there'll be no digging. There'll be, we'll have to renew the blasting policy.
Mr. Dixon and I spoke about it this morning, and there was
I thought you were going with the noise ordinance, construction ordinance. I was going to give a variance.
There was a concern that we might run into some rock, and I think I stated something to the effect I'd be surprised if we didn't run into
some
rock.
It'll all be rock.
We have a new tank. We're replacing the tank. And the old one is didn't have any holes in it, but it's getting to the point. It was tilting a little bit. It was standing on its end. And with this new tank, it'll be buried in the ground. And the old tank we're going to give to, not sure what subdivision is going to use it, but they'll give us the right to hook up to it to drain water out of it when we have a fire in that area. So it'll help in our ISO rating. But there's going to be some rock out there.
Yeah. I think that I might consider, can you cover it up with so many feet of dirt?
Well, we could, but we're going to try to get it down as low as we can. We figure.
Yeah.
I think, and don't hold me to this, Chris is gone on vacation, but I think we figured it would be at least maybe 2 feet out of the ground. But if we could get it down enough to where, you know, the warmth of the ground would keep it from freezing.
And, you know, you can do that, and then one of the things that works real good is you can get one of those companies with the chips. Mm-hmm. On the tree services, and just cover that thing up with the chips over the side. It keeps it from freezing. We've run into that before, and we put it don't have to have but 4 to 6 inches of those chips on there, and it keeps them from freezing up on you.
The problem with the current one, like I say, was tilting toward the building, and somebody shot it a few times, but didn't put a hole in it, but. We figured with the cost of resetting it, painting it, and putting it back up there, we were ahead to buy a tank.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that on two or three stations in the next year or so.
So what do we do if we need to blast? We don't blast, right?
You could.
I figured you're probably going to have a rock, one of those rock. Yeah. Hammers.
I think we can break it out.
The 160 dirt pit had a bunch of rock pillars that we've had to take apart with the rock hammers to remove the obstruction from the hill. So we don't think it'd be an issue. Just want to get your authorization and blessing to move forward with it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Check with old Harlan about the hardness of the rock out that direction before we start. We got in on a couple of, wow. I mean, it was chip, hard rock. So,
do we need an intergovernmental agreement, Rick mentioned? I don't know if we need it or not. But.
I'd feel more satisfied with it in case something, somebody complained.
That you were doing it?
Yeah.
Can you get Mr. Paulson to make one of?
Yeah.
You're going to get with him?
I'll get with him.
Okay.
Thank you.
When we check about blasting on that, too.
Okay.
There's nothing around there but that facility. And I don't know how far away from it they could get to blast.
There's a concrete wall off to the right of the building. They want
it's
it to
retainer,
be
though, isn't it?
Yeah, they want it to be 10 feet off of that wall. I was going to meet with the fire chief out there this week to look at the lay of the land, look at where they were going to do it. We had talked this morning on the phone about depth and partially burying it, and because of the slope of the land, we at least over the phone, talked about maybe burying it about half as deep as they had thought about, and then filling the other portion of it with fill would eliminate some of the digging. So that's, with your authorization, we'll move forward with the meeting and see if we can probably minimize the digging and maybe just bring fill in. You'd be okay with that? Another issue, looking forward to the manhole project. It's amazing how many phone calls don't come in because of some of the manholes out there are horrible. They're really offset and they really need to be fixed.
They've marked them all, I think. Or I've seen them mark a lot of them. So.
I think we have a pre-construction meeting next week to talk about that. But I look forward to those getting addressed. I believe there's 80 or so plus of those to be done.
Excuse me. You say a pre-construction meeting? We're going out for bid? I've lost track.
Maybe it's a pre-bid meeting. It is definitely a bid process. Sure. It's going out to a contract.
Okay. Probably a pre-bid meeting. We'd ask Linda, but
okay.
It could be a pre-bid. We've had some planning sessions with the supervisors and lead workers to discuss next year's activities. We have pretty much come up with 2010 chip seal list. If you look at the wall in your meeting room upstairs, there's a representation of what the 2010 chip seal list looks like. The frequency of chip seal is between 4 and 6 years, depending on the use and depending on how the road was built. I think we've gone back to 2001 and identified exactly what year all of the roads were done. If there's anything that, any issues that you have, such as you know of a box culvert that needs to be fixed, here I'll just mention a few to give you some ideas of what to think about. We're talking about road widening areas. On the list we have Hodge Hollow, Sharp Lane, Backwoods, Barton, Cavon, Sedgwick, Kentucky Hollow, Pro Tem Cedar Creek, continuation of that project. There's an alignment issue that we may or may not want to work out there. Turnarounds on Amanda, Whippoorwill, Breckenridge, Shelton, Trophy Run. Just anything overall in general, some things that you maybe can remember from in the past that have never been addressed. We'd like to put them in our work plan for the next year or two to get them on the plan.
What about the cores up at the fire site dam? Did we ever settle that? Did they grade that, or did we ever get that settled up?
I don't remember.
I think so.
Need to bring that up whenever we get the opportunity to.
The core or the Empire Road
Empire,
there?
Empire, yeah, Empire and the core and whoever else is involved in it.
We had talked about doing a one-time grading there.
We talked to the Corps about it when they were here, didn't we? And they said, go ahead and do it.
I don't think they own the ground, though, do they?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember.
That was my memory, that they own the ground.
Let's put that in a memory box and bring it to them.
Empire's made the request, and the Corps has said, go ahead.
Do we just... I'd like to get an agreement.
Yeah.
Just keep it up. I mean, very minimal. But.
What about, is there a cul-de-sac on the other end? I've been so long since I've been up there.
I've never actually driven it.
I kind of think there is, but it's been a long time for me, too.
Just make sure we got some way to get up there, get turned around. That's a long...
Across.
River run.
There was also some... Okay, agreement with the Corps and Empire and ourselves. Agreement to maintain from here on out?
Once a year or something?
Okay. It was also discussed that this was used as for recreational activities a lot. That was an important feature. Okay. The planning and zoning and sewer building, we're wrapping up the stucco of the two sides. wondering if you wanted to move forward with painting the rest of the building, the back, the other two sides, so that it would match, or if we were just concerned with the two sides that we're working on right now.
We were just concerned with the two sides. I mean, really what the next thing was the awning up front.
Okay.
I mean, and Charlie knows what we're looking for.
Okay.
I didn't look around back to see how bad it clashes. I don't.
It's hard to see one from the other. You're looking at.
I know, that's why we kind of stopped it at that point. I mean, you really can't compare, and the paint was in fine shape, I thought, so.
Mm-hmm.
I can look into it, though, and just report back to the commission, but if it's painted, it's painted.
The awning out front, we've recently had the parking lot striped for parking and handicap parking. I have not seen the design. I've heard that it's a 6x12 awning. With that footprint of the outer two
posts,
I'm concerned that we may have infringing, that we may be infringing in it in a handicap parking spot.
I have not been over since the painting. I know.
I understood Charlie or one of the guys to say that there wasn't any question. You're going to have to redo that.
Okay.
The painting?
Yeah, because the porch is going to be in the way of it.
Okay.
I guess my question is that the purpose of the awning is to get out of the rain and get your umbrella up, or decorative, or...
Mostly it was just to get... Try to divert some of that water, because there's no awning there. I mean, there's no overhang.
Away from the front door.
Get a little rain off the front door, because when it's blowing at all, I mean, it's blowing right on that edge, and the slope of the parking lot doesn't help. So, I mean, we can get probably just a generic old fabric one and freestand it a couple feet out and call it good. I mean, if that's what we're looking at, we can look at different options and just buy one.
I don't know if a canopy like they have across the building, across the street on the buildings.
Right.
Something like that. That wouldn't have a footprint on it.
That's fine, too. I know Danny had requested that it try to look like the Masonic Lodge next to it. That's why we went that direction with the style. Mm-hmm. But now that the parking spaces may be infringed, maybe we look at something else. So.
Or there could be maybe a cantilever design that we haven't looked at.
Something. Do you want us to look at it then, guys? I mean, I'd rather not lose two parking spots.
No, we can't afford to.
Not there. I'll ask it with you.
Okay.
I'll write that down. And I'll send you an email.
The wellness center, is that what we're calling the...
Downstairs, yes, sir.
Who would be my main contact person for improvements to be done there?
Okay. Myself and Linda and Nikki.
Okay.
Because we're the ones that kind of sketched it out to come up with a dollar figure so I could present to these guys.
Okay. So far I've heard false ceiling and no?
No ceiling.
No ceiling. Okay.
No, we're not doing any ceiling in there. No grid, nothing.
Okay. That's good because
no.
Somebody had talked about a ceiling.
No. I'll get with you.
Great.
I didn't know if that crew was on with the deer season starting. I wasn't going to push anything until they all got back, because I didn't know how skeleton crew it was going to be. So.
Okay. Charlie will be off starting Wednesday for 2-week period, but the rest of his crew will be here, and I think we'll be okay to move forward with any construction projects that are planned or currently underway.
But I'll get with you on that too, Frank.
Okay. I had a call this morning from a lady. All I got was first name Micah, Beaver Creek Ranch Road. And what I could find out from her and from speaking with Gene and Randy, there's a road, a county road, that particular road, Beaver Creek Ranch Road, that has two cattle guards on it. And sometime in the past years, the county... put up fence on one side of the property.
It's not like a western side issue to me.
Her request, I think once I got to understand what she wanted, I think her request is that the cattle guards be removed, and she wanted to know if the county would put in a quarter mile of fence line on the other side of the road. In talking to Randy, he stated that years ago when this work was originally done, that there was a non-written agreement that the county would fence the one side of the road, which has been done, and that they would be responsible for the other side. So I told her this morning that I would research as much as I could as far as the history on it or agreements, and then I would bring it up to the commission to see what if they wanted to do anything with her request or deny the request or ask me to do any more research to find out anything else.
There's a lot of history on it when you get to reading on it. She wanted a pond built. She wanted... There's a whole bunch of stuff she wanted done, but we did fence one side of the road off exactly the way she wanted, and I think that's going to be pretty much the end of the story.
Okay.
It's we went above and beyond what we were planning on doing.
I think in speaking to her, I think she was fishing for a yes answer, expecting a no.
It was quite a deal. We put up electric fence. And we ended up building the other fence, and that was controversial.
Two more things. I spent most of my vacation, good parts of every morning, on Y Highway, and had some concerns with the construction activities that were going on down there. The biggest concern was seeing a top of a man's head about 2 to 3 feet below the asphalt level in a trench. And I talked to Randy about that, and then there was some discussion about that activity. We don't want to have an accident on a county project. It's been my understanding that they've been warned about this in the past.
Okay.
That's an offense of some basic building practices that are nationwide. And I've had the unfortunate experience of having to pull people out of situations like that, and it's not pretty. And something serious needs to come down to the contractor in regards to flagrant abuse of...
Well, we talked about, I think we're talking about OSHA problems. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
We also talked about Mel meeting. I think didn't we talk to Mel about talking to him about that?
No, somebody was going to visit with him about it. But,
right. I mean, that was brought up last week when you were on vacation. That was brought up in a conversation. I think, Danny, you brought it up in a meeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a sewer board meeting or whatever, but just we had some concerns about, Randy had to make a judgment call because they were going to leave a road unfinished, or they were working on it and stopped, and they told him one thing, and he made a decision off of what the facts he was given versus how it really was. So, I mean, we have some concerns about the whole area.
Okay. And then Mr. Pennell and I had a discussion probably 2 or 3 weeks ago in regards to the overall condition of the roads.
Right.
So I don't know if somebody has taken action, if we need to take action, or...
We got to take action, I believe. We haven't done anything, have we, except do some talking.
We had mentioned that we, the county commissioners, one or two or three of us, might sit in on that 1 o'clock construction meeting.
Next day, though, wouldn't it?
Well, we already had this planned, so we were talking next week, I think.
Yeah.
But Randy's been attending those regularly.
Yes.
And there's complaints about them not being very responsive. And
I think the OSHA threat, that's enough to slow you down considerably on a job, I think.
Which is not safe.
So. I think an OSHA, that just right, tell the... Larry and his crew that we have no other choice but to turn in some.
So you saw this
several
Yeah, I've seen
it. I saw it Randy 2 days in a row.
I drove down through there. I didn't even have any idea there was a man in the hole down there until I was standing talking to this guy, and this guy hollered out of the bottom of a hole down there. So,
would you like me to talk with the inspector on the job, or talk to Mel? With, do some more background
info? Talk with Mel.
Talk to somebody.
Talk with Mel, and then.
I mean, we've reached a point where I think if we've all been seeing this and everything, that we need to tell Larry and them that the next person that we're going to contact will be OSHA.
Yeah, I mean, I would just go ahead and instruct someone, Frank.
Okay. Another concern I have with that project is that they're holding us up on the Shorty Cooper reconstruction because their permit was pulled from MoDOT for practices they were doing alongside the road there.
What is the status for that? Are they trying to get a new permit? Or
yes, yes. I think 3 out of 4 concrete drain structures were broken on the on our property during their process of building.
Again?
3 or 4 drainage structures were broken in the hillside.
Okay.
Hey, Bob. Excuse me a second, Frank. Were we supposed to do something at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, this is going to hold off. We're going to do the right-of-ways thing. The right-of-way, Bullshoals right-of-way contract.
It was at 3, I thought.
No, that's
at 3. I had it backwards?
You had it backwards.
Okay. I've got to go upstairs and get the other one.
Yeah, because this one's going to wait until the 11th or 12th. Because we just saw an email come through that they're... Yes, the other one. If you want to come in, I'll give you the explanation.
Here's this other one.
Here's Department of Army.
Is that what I've got
upstairs? I don't know. Yeah, I hope so.
If we get that one line changed on 2 or 3 different pages, Randy has it marked in there.
Yeah, I have mine marked also. It's paragraph, I think, D in the...
And we'll take in... my recommendation is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is all three commissioners initial it, that just take it out of there. It was... Chuck and I was down there, and they absolutely know that we did not agree to that. Something about obstructions. It's down close to the bottom. I found it for Chuck there was a few minutes ago.
That we would build obstructions or
that we would build
deny access.
To deny access.
And I don't see that in this one. I saw the one upstairs.
It's a little short paragraph right at the bottom.
I know. I've seen it.
While he's thinking out loud.
It gets better now.
That's too late. While he's thinking out loud, Mike Zimmerman sent an email out for the 2 o'clock that we had for the 3 o'clock we have posted, which is the biosolids application. He sent an email out to everybody who was a all interested parties, and he's asked them to respond no later than the 11th to his email, and because the application is due the 15th. So,
when I talked to Rick, I understood we had to get that tomorrow.
I did too, but. Mike Zimmerman saying, attach your review and comment. Please find the proposed application, which is due no later than the 15th. Please respond by the 11th.
I'll find it for you right quick, Bob.
That would be nice, because I don't see it in this one. I see it in the ones upstairs.
Say if you hang or should we call Mike?
Well, Mike's the one.
The one that you got upstairs.
He would have done.
I didn't see it in here.
The last issue I have, and that's all right, is sort of a house cleaning or keeping issue on Winkle Creek, that $6,300 electrical pole change issue.
Yes.
I think you made a motion to approve the $6,300.
I believe we did.
I think we
did.
Yes.
I've not followed through with that, and I was wondering if any of you had. So obviously I need to get the gentleman's name and...
Yep. Harry Vanderpool or Tom Gunther?
The homeowner on...
Winkle?
Yes.
That's Gunther, isn't it?
Yeah, Mr. Gunther.
Okay.
Do you want me to see if I can find it real fast?
and let him know what's going on, and then ask that a check be drawn for that amount.
Are we just, what are we doing? What now? Huh? What?
I thought that the motion was to award Mr. Gunter $6,339 based on the estimate.
We're going to still pay for the utility to get moved.
To the amount.
But we're not going to give Mr. Vanderplug. I mean, we're going to pay the electric company, aren't we? We're not going to pay the homeowner.
I thought, well, that's what I'm
talking about. I don't think we talked about giving him the check because I'm concerned it'll never get moved.
Well, it may not, but part of the, correct me if I'm wrong, the map I showed a bunch of three different highlighted areas on the corner that where we are infringing on his property.
Yeah.
I thought the $6,300 agreement was to give this gentleman that, get a legal description of,
I think that's right,
of where our infringements are, get a legal description of that, and then he would
sign over
the easement, and we would give him the $6,339
that covers
us from being encroaching on their private property,
and all coincidentally covers his electrical
and gives him the opportunity
to fix the problem
if he so desires to do so.
He probably will. Fix the problem.
Because his lot's useless otherwise.
Exactly. He can't do what he wants to do. So I'm looking for Mr. Gunter, and I'm going to look through my trash. So
before I have that check cut in that amount, I think I should call Mr. Gunter and let him know what
the plans are.
What our plans are, and see if there's any opposition or. I don't think so either.
Be happy.
Sir, can we help you? Mr. Fisher?
No, I'm Joel Zitter of Vanguard Appraisal. You let us do a little dog and pony act in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was just in the neighborhood visiting clients, so I just wanted to stop in and remind you if there's any questions you would have or if there's anything more we can do, let me know.
Okay.
That's it. So.
I don't have any. I mean, we're still going through a process right now, and then. I mean, once we narrow it down, we may have questions at that point. But right now, we rescheduled a bunch of other ones over the last 2 weeks. So we've only seen yours so far, and we haven't done any of the other ones.
Okay. Well, of course, we're working on your time schedule. So, like I said, if there's anything we can do, let me know.
Okay.
So,
appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for stopping.
Okay. I'll try to get his number.
I'm working on it.
All right.
You know, when we run out of something to do, big joke there, there's another project out in that neck of the woods. I don't know if you went out with me. They had Table Rock asphalt the road.
L-shape?
Yeah, and there's a water runoff issue. And I think his name's Chris Cooper.
Yes.
He's an appraiser.
Yeah, I know Chris Cooper. Yeah. Cooper Appraisals.
And we might ought to swing out there someday when we're out lollygagging.
Just hanging out?
Yeah.
Where's shooting the pad?
He went in and had this road built, made for everything, and then wanted us to take it in, which is fine and dandy, except on the corner, there's a water runoff issue.
Okay.
That we'd be obligating ourselves to lots of trouble. And I visited with the people building the house there on that corner.
It may be on every one of them.
Where it would go, maybe I'd need you to look at it again or something.
Maybe on every one of them.
We talked about diverting it around the house,
But anyway,
we would require Chris to divert it one way or the other.
Yeah. It's changed.
I am sending you an email, Mr.
Okay.
Preston, on on the original contact that I got from Senator Goodman's office back on March 12th, it includes some attachments and some things that the previous administration had committed to. And there you go. You'll have it in the email.
Appreciate it.
There you go. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Pleasure.
That's all I have. If you have, gentlemen, have anything for me?
We don't want to have any restrictions. Anybody?
What?
Street. You already gave me a page and a half.
I don't think I did any talk.
You didn't.
I made up for it.
Yeah, you did.
That's changed from here.
Just a conversation. Forest, yeah. Whatever.
Bluff.
Gone poor Fluff. Did we, what did we...
I'm going to sign a signature.
Were we going to meet with those folks? They were talking about building the cul-de-sac. And it was Danny Brown. Anybody remember what we decided on that?
No, I don't.
No.
Gosh, you guys are making me feel better.
Well, Randy came in and talked about that last week, about once he got the brush hog or something out there and cleared it off, it wasn't near as steep as what he thought it was. Mm. Remember, he was in here last week and talked about...
I was just wondering if the ball was in our court or theirs.
Ask Randy, I think. Okay. I think we give him some direction. Here's both these. You want to have him strike those or highlight them and strike them and initial them? Or how do you want to rewrite? You don't want to rewrite that.
No, I don't want to rewrite that. But, I mean, they're both different. I mean, they are different.
Yeah, they've got two of them here, and they both read different, but they both mean somewhat the same thing.
Well, one's less than the other, and I think it's their attempt to change it to meet your objections, but it doesn't go as far as you'd like.
No.
You said
one says the grantee shall develop restrictive barriers, boulders, berms, etc., along the roadway to keep vehicles out of unauthorized areas. Okay, that's what it did say. Now it says the alignment of the road, turnaround, culverts, and drainage ditch should be as depicted in Exhibit A2. And both sides of the roadway will be protected either by a ditch line or rock embankment to limit vehicles from traveling anywhere other than the roadway. So basically it says the same thing in different language. What you'd have to do is, I don't know what it means depicted in A2. I suppose the position and all that sort of thing is fine. But as far as... the second half of that sentence, just cross it out.
I'd cross the whole sentence out.
Okay. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'd just cross it. That C is no, because Chuck and I both said we're not responsible for your roads after, other than what we build down through there. We cut ditches and everything else in our roadway, but we're not putting up boulders or...
If you want to cross out C and initial it,
do you guys want to vote on that and do it? Do it that way?
It's okay with me.
We don't want to rewrite it, but we were clear about that, you know, when we walked down to the...
I mean, what are the odds of them actually taking a crossed-out initial contract?
Don't know.
Department of... This is the Army?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before we get something like this back?
Oh, we won't...
It'd probably be better to call them and tell them, look, we can't have... We didn't
agree to this.
They didn't agree to that.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you guys agreed to something different. We need one that doesn't include that.
Right, because I really think all we're doing
right.
is we're wasting our time.
That's fine.
Would you facilitate that and put that on your top...
put that number one on
your
list.
Top 600 list? Oh, thank you, Bob, for your willingness to jump in there.
I got the other one done.
You did. You're the man.
Yeah, it was 11 days too early.
11 days
to work. It was on there. I didn't know some things. Well then we will need to reschedule that. So once you get an answer back, we'll reschedule or repost the right of way document for Bull Shoals.
We'll call Gina Field right now.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.
As always, a pleasure to see you, Mr. Paulson.
Yeah, it's always good to see you too, sir.
There's a planning and zoning meeting tonight. I wondered if there's any new...
Oh, Paulson's back.
If there's any new news on the proposed air park...
now he's wishing he had to come back.
Welcome back, Mr. Paulson.
Thank you. We had this discussion this morning.
We did.
Oh, okay. I'm anticipating...
There's a bunch of emails going back and forth, and if they're willing to sign and issue a bond saying that we can gravel their road to meet the standards, the road standards... In
one minor subdivision. They can't do more than one minor subdivision because basically they're doing in different parts mm-hmm. their entire deal.
Each time they wanted to make a change outside of this scope, they would have to come forward with the Another request?
No, not a minor subdivision. It's going to have to be a major subdivision. They're going to have to come through the Division 3 process again.
You can only do one minor subdivision, period.
On the property, yeah. It allows you to divide it up so that there's six lots, including the parent parcel. You can't do that and then come back with the parent parcel and divide it up again. Because then all you'd have to do is come in about every couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you'd have 400 lots.
That's not good, then. Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, I agree, but I wanted to make sure that that's... That wouldn't surprise me for that.
Are we having another discussion tonight? Is Aegis in front of the...
I'm not sure.
They are. They're going to come in and say hi.
They're going to say hi, or is there going to be an extended...
There may be some more discussion besides hi, but that's going to be the start of the... Yes.
How many of you gentlemen are going to be there?
I'm not.
You're not going to be there?
No. If people want to hate me, I want them to come at my time at least.
I'll probably be there.
I don't think I'll see any fireworks from tonight. It'll be days down the road. If there's going to be fireworks.
So today's is just, they're going to present it to the...
I think they're just going to present and ask for a work session in the future.
We're doing what they want, aren't we, Bob?
What's that?
This is what they've asked for in years past, right?
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
Okay. I was curious as to how much was going on tonight.
Oh, I don't know.
I haven't seen the agenda. All right.
Frank, as always, a pleasure. Welcome back. We missed you. Randy did a fine job, but we're glad you're back.
Good deal.
That's speaking as one commissioner, not as a unanimous vote,
I understand,
or even
that.
A majority.
I understand that.
Just one third.
I think, I was going to tell you, too, and I think you was down there, and I probably mentioned it, the boy was, did an outstanding job on those lake access roads, and then that Randy, I talked to him, and he's got all the signatures needed for the easements except for Mr. Donat. And he said that Mr. Donat had an understanding that it was going to be a lake boat launch ramp down there, and there's nothing in any agreement for that. So that's all we need to get for that one to go ahead and extend it out. Some of those people have called me and asked me, now that you got your easement down through there, you're not done the rest of the road deal, so I'd like to get those. He's got them all signed, but
except for that one.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you about that. Thank you.
See ya.
And was that what we had for the day?
No, we have... Oh, no, there's bonus. At 3:30, in one short hour, we will start the Ed Fisher Villages Tax Assessment Program demonstration right here. They've rescheduled and made sure that we will be here. And if any one of us is going to miss, they're going to reschedule again. So, Danny, 3:30.
Be here. I'll go get you a rope.
We're going to find you. Because
I've got an awful headache. I just came up with it in the last 30 seconds or so.
You know something?
You mentioned that.
Uh-huh. I'm going to just leave it alone. Uh-huh. Well, I believe we'll...
Recess. Too bad Trey's not here.
He could use a good grin, as always.
Recess.
The Ed Fisher Tax Assessment.